Hello, this is Nan. Who's there?
Hi, Nan. This is Shalini here.
Oh, how are you?
I'm doing very good. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. You've been doing a lot of traveling by the sounds of it.
Yes, I have. Actually, we are in the, process of relocating from Bangalore to New Delhi. And
Oh.
so I think this travel is connected related to that. But
That's
I'm
a
back
lot
in
of,
Bangalore now. Yes.
are you? Okay. That's a lot of work. So
That's
not
a
only
lot
all
of
that traveling, but moving as well. That's a
moving.
lot
It
of
is
stress.
crazy. It's crazy. I have a 14 and 8 years old and a 7 years old, and it's crazy.
Oh boy, how are they feeling about the change and all the travel and so forth?
My younger one is, he doesn't care much. He's fine
Yeah,
either
they
way.
kids. Isn't it amazing how kids just are so resolute? You know, they
Adaptable
just
and resilient.
resilient. That's the word I was looking for. Thank
Yes.
you. So.
My oldest one is kind of looking forward to moving to Delhi, I think. Although I think she started meeting her friends here in
Oh,
Bangalore.
good. Oh, well,
And
that's
at
good.
the same time, they were in Delhi. They were like Delhi, so it's not too bad.
Okay. Oh, well, that's good to hear.
Thanks,
So
ma'am. Thanks.
I've heard a couple of beeps. I think some other people are joining us. Who else is there? This is Nan.
Malia?
Hi, Malia. How are you doing?
Pretty good, thank you.
Good. You're pretty resilient too. You've had a lot of changes going on in your life situation with that tree, for sure.
Indeed. Indeed. Yes. Resilience is one of those top ones.
I guess so. And who else is joining us?
Hi, this is Donna Garcia. How are you?
Hey, Donna. Great, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good. Shalini and Malia are here. I'm hoping that Joanne and Liz and Tom will be joining us soon. I don't know where you are, but we have the sun today, which is always nice. You always feel a little better when the sun's shining, I think.
Well, I'm in South Florida. We have a little bit of rain, but it's okay. It'll make
Oh.
everything green. Although it was a little frustrating this morning trying to get the dogs to go to the bathroom. We have two rescue German Shepherds, and they weren't staying with my schedule because feet get wet. They don't like that. I don't blame them, but it's like, hey, mom has to go to work. You guys need to cooperate with me,
Oh,
So
that's funny.
power, and then there was a lull in the rain, and they went out. So anyway, that's my
Oh,
schedule.
good. That's good. How long have you had them?
The one we've had, she's 10, and we've had her since she was 6 months old. The other is 2 years old, so since she was 8 weeks old. Yeah, they're amazing animals. They're full of love and fur, German Shepherds.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I've never had a shepherd, but we've had a variety of dogs. We've had a Dalmatian, we've had Great Dane, we've had two Old English sheepdogs. We have one sheepdog now, and just love having animals in our lives. Oh, here's a beep. Someone else joining. Hi, this is Nan.
Yeah, this is.
Hey, Tom. How are you doing today?
Hey, how's it going? Great.
Good. Me too. Me too. Donna and Shalini and Malaya are here. I don't know if Joanne and Liz are going to be joining or not. We might as well get started. I know that you've all been working on code of ethics and a life purpose statement, perhaps a personal mission statement or vision. Have any of you finished any of those? And is there someone who'd like to share what you've done?
I don't mind sharing what I would call my vision.
Oh, thanks, Malia.
This is Malia, yeah. I live my life with grace and courage, nurturing my relationships, using my talents to help others, being kind, deliberate, and generous.
Ooh, that's nice.
Thanks.
Thank you for that share. I really like that.
Thank you for sharing. That was amazing.
Very powerful. And I think it sounds like you chose those words very deliberately because they reflect your values. They're words that you really connect to. Am I right?
Yeah. I went through, just going through the process of the different questions and the code, the ethics. I worked this morning on some more, working on the code of ethics, so I guess maybe I've kind of done this backwards. But the same words just keep coming up. So.
Yeah.
So, I think
it's interesting how that works, isn't it? How you don't even recognize, I don't think, or you don't acknowledge the words until they do keep coming up and you recognize that there's a bit of a pattern there.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's really the beauty of those vision boards. I haven't done one, but I kind of was a ride along with Donna as she did hers.
Shalini really had a nice one too, and thank you both for posting them in the Facebook group. They're lovely, both of them. And so interesting looking at the two of them, how they tell different but similar stories in terms of who you are and where you want to go, what you want your future to look like. Any other shares? Okay. Well, please continue to work on those because having that vision and the personal mission statement and understanding your life purpose, having the code of ethics, that guide our decisions and our behaviors and actions. That's our ultimate, big why, if you will. Our reason for being, our reason for doing, our reason for showing up and living in this world. And it means that everything that we do from now on in terms of planning, where we want our life to go, and life includes our work, our profession. And so I put the life balance wheel in there as a way of helping you to now start thinking about setting up some SMART goals, and within each of the SMART goals, having the action steps. So the vision gives you the opportunity, as Stephen Covey says, to begin with the end in mind and work backwards in terms of what it is that you want, you know, in your life. So have any of you ever done the life balance wheel before?
This is Donna. Yes.
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 Oh, okay. So all of you have. I don't know how recently it's been. The example that I gave in the handouts is supposed to be a focus on life purpose, and it contains things like life purpose, spirituality, self-esteem, health, exercise, which I suppose could be called, they've got one for play. Well, that's good. I didn't realize. Okay, relationships, home environment, play, and money. I had a client, and these can be adaptable. I'm going to send you all. I have a blank life balance wheel that you can, it's actually pretty cool. It comes from the coachingtoolscompany.com, and it allows you to customize it, to put, you know, your own company name, your logo if you have one, or your face, your picture, and your contact information, and use it with clients. It's a great tool to use when you're doing a discovery session with someone and, you know, they're not sure perhaps about where to start. And giving them the blank life balance wheel, or they call it wheel of life, I think, allows people to create their own life within the wheel. I have one client who added environment. You know, she said she wants to do something every day to work towards saving the planet. I had another one that added animals because she's a huge advocate for animal welfare, and that's how, you know, she wanted to include that in her life. I personally added community to mine because I think volunteerism is important. I noticed that they haven't included things like lifelong learning or self-motivation, I don't think so much, but self-improvement, which I think is also important to a lot of us. When you look at the categories, for example, relationships, you know, that could be divided into so many ways. Relationship with, you know, a spouse or partner, with your children, your family as a whole, your extended family, you know, your friends, your coworkers, it can go on and on. So whatever you want to focus your attention is what you want to include. I love that they've put play here. An interesting question that I often like to ask clients is, what do you do for fun? And guys, what do you think? What would you guess would be the most common answer that I get to that question? What do you do for fun?
Well, this is Tom. I mean, I don't know what others would answer, but I love to play with a cat.
Oh, I love that. Oh, that is great.
Yes, and she doesn't like that, and so it makes it really interesting to see meow at me.
You know what? Our cat does not like to be, you know, he decides when it's okay for you to give him attention or play with him or whatever. Cats are so funny.
The most
common answer that I got to the question was fun. What's that? I can't remember when the last time I had fun. I had one client that said to me, "Oh, I don't do fun." So imagine a life that doesn't include fun. And that's how lives get out of balance, is because people forget to do the things that gave them joy and pleasure. So putting it back into the cycle can really make a difference in someone's life, maybe, you know, in your lives. You know, work can be divided up into, you know, job and career, and maybe something that you want to do in the future. If you want to change careers or explore options, maybe you want to look for getting promoted. So that can be split up. They do have self-esteem. Yeah, Tom.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to comment here that play is so much more important than we realize, especially when how it relates to all the other areas of work. And sometimes we try to make our work fun, even if our work is really tough.
Mm.
Our home environment and relaxing, but I'm going to be honest, I don't think people just, you're absolutely correct, people don't get enough playtime or fun time.
Yeah, yeah.
You put him to bed?
Go ahead, Shalini. What did you add?
Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize my mute was not on.
Okay. So, yeah, Tom, I really love what you're saying, because you're right. I mean, even at work, you know, people used to hang out around the water cooler and, you know, take breaks and go and, you know, visit other people in the workplace. And it was a fun, you know, it used to be a fun thing to be able to have fun and laughter at work. And yet, well, of course, these days with COVID, all we're seeing is, you know, the little squares of people. So we don't have time for that or the opportunity for interaction the way we used to. And so it's even more important to include fun in our everyday life, because it's such a great stress reliever. And Malia, I mean, you know about living with stress, and Shalini too is living with a lot of stress right now. And so, how do you guys put play or fun into a regular activity, or do you?
Yeah, what part of my routine is, you know, to spend time with my son. He's a big stress buster.
So I can imagine. At 7 years old, he just wants to play. Yeah.
He wants to play, and it's a two-edged sword there.
Yes.
If part of my time goes with just telling him those things again and again, the same things, mm-hmm. and at the same time, I think, you know, that some of his observations and conversations with him can be a big, you know, stress buster. Yeah. I like to go for walks, long walks. I love doing that. For me, I think I have my quiet way of getting some kind of a sublime or, you know, if you will, kind of a fun when I go for long walks by the lakeside.
Mm-hmm.
So I love doing that.
Yeah. So doing something you love, that's fun. Yeah.
Yeah, and I do yoga. So I think for me, all these things I think are my not the fun, but
mm-hmm.
some kind of you know, something that gives me peace and joy.
Yeah.
In my own quiet way.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, you know, everybody does fun in a different way. That's the thing. It's a very personal. It's a very personal and yet such an important part of life. So if you're not having enough fun in your life, then that's something you can put on your life balance wheel, and it gives you a place to start. And I also, mind mapping, and I use mindmeister.com. It didn't come out very well in the material that I gave you. And it's just a different way. It's very similar to the life balance wheel. It's just a different way of expanding your thinking about who you are, what you want to be and do, what's important to you. So you start off with yourself in the middle, and then you add categories, just the way that the life balance wheel has categories. And then from the categories flow the different subsets of your thinking around that, and your ideals and your dreams about, you know, what would good health, having a healthy life, what would that look like? What would it involve, entail? And having, you know, a caring, loving relationship and whatever is important to you. And then from the visions and goals, they come out of dreams, and then the plans and action steps happen. So you have a couple of ways there of helping yourself or perhaps your clients to start working on the goals and action steps that are going to take you to where you want to be. So really, we're talking about transitional change here. And we covered that, I think it was week two. And we also know how hard change is, about, you know, having to make the brain make those new neural pathways, and it takes time and repetitious action over time. And it's easy to become, demotivated, because it is so much work. And maybe it's if you're finding that you're constantly challenged to find the time to do it, or that it's not working out for you the way that it had hoped. It's so easy to become discouraged, isn't it? So when we think about resources and support systems for change, the support systems have to be both internal and external. So what do you think are some of the internal resources that you need in order to make this transitional change happen for you?
This is Donna.
Yes, Donna.
I don't think it's an internal resource, but I'm kind of thinking it would be, I'm working on becoming more mindful,
mm-hmm.
you know, whether it's of, you know, physical pain. I mean, that's always kind of barking at me sometimes, but
mm-hmm.
Being mindful so that, well, that's probably the easy part, because my physical pain in my left side of my body from nerve issues will cause me to not sit so much or get up and move and different things. But in
mm-hmm.
in general, I have been proactively looking at mindfulness and paying attention and listening to others, to being present and not thinking and worried about the future or worried about the past, you know, staying in the present.
Yeah. That I think that's really important, is to, especially when mindfulness is something that you're looking for, is to focus on being in the moment and staying present. Very important. You know, it's really, for me, I have this, I have this picture of my mind being a very busy and noisy place, because, you know, I'm got all kinds of things going on in my head and the things to do and blah, blah, blah. And I kind of picture like a cartoon where they have the gears going around and, you know, the boot kicks a lever and the ball flies down a tube and whatnot. And if I want to be present, I need to leave my head. And it's like in my forehead, I have an elevator door and I can just get in there and I just sink and sink and sink until I'm in my core. And when I step off the elevator, it's a quiet, peaceful place. And I can focus on just being. And that's a visual that helps me. You know, when I know I need to get out of my head and focus on a client, for example, or, you know, anyone that I need to listen to, I just take that elevator right out of my head. I don't know if that's helpful to you or not. Now you know the crazy way my mind works. But
thank you for sharing that.
Oh, you're welcome.
I think
go ahead, Maria. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, some other internal resources would be like self-talk and self-care.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, you broke up a little bit, and I didn't catch the last. Self-talk and
self-care.
Oh, self-care. Oh, yes. I'm a self-care fanatic in terms of ensuring that people are taking care of themselves. That is so important. And would you say more about the self-talk issue?
Well, I think it's easy. Well, I'll speak for myself. It's very easy for me to get into a rut of demeaning myself when, you know, when things aren't, when things aren't going well, and, you know, you never could do that. You know, you're going to screw this up again.
Okay.
So, you know, working.
So you blame yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So working on that self-talk to, rather than saying those kinds of things, saying, you know, you got this, and you've worked through these things before. Let's just keep going.
That is great. And that kind of self-awareness is so important, too, that you have to be aware of when, hey, I'm being really hard on myself here. And that's not fair. I'm not being fair to myself. And I love that. So between the positive self-talk and the reminder for self-care, that really keeps you both, well, holistically ready to keep going. For sure.
One of the things that I've done about with self-talk, it's, I don't know, I think it's kind of funny, but it's super effective for me. I get frustrated when, like, I drop something, just say, for instance. And about a year ago, I started trying to examine that. You know, why do I get so mad at myself for dropping something? And now when I drop something, I just say, gravity still works.
Oh, I love that. That's funny. That is great.
It's way better than saying, I'd be so clumsy.
Yeah, yeah. I love having that positive attitude, and I think that's something that really comes with practice. That for me, I mean, I've become a real optimist. I always look for the good in it, no matter what it is. Actually, I had a friend say to me the other day, she says, oh, my God, every time something goes wrong, I hear your voice saying, where can we take the lesson from this? What's the good in this? Because she and I worked on several committees together and did a lot of work together. And it's really funny. I didn't realize that I'd been saying that for so many years. We've been friends for over 25 years, and I didn't realize that I had that optimism back then. So I think having, you know, being willing to look for the positives in every situation and not beat yourself up, I think that's so important. Anyone have any other thoughts to add? I think having strategies to face the fear and the anxiety that comes when, you know, you're doing something that's new and different is really important, and having a mindset that's open to possibilities and detached from outcome. So that, for example, when you're doing your action steps and you're setting SMART goals, they're time bound. So you have a deadline. And when you're open to outcome, you can say, this is my intention to have this completed by such and such a date. And if it turns out that as you get closer and closer, you know, sometimes life happens and things come up and our attention's distracted and we realize, oh, I'm not going to make that deadline. So then you give yourself permission to change the deadline. you know, and say, I don't think I'm going to have this ready now until next Thursday, not this Thursday. So I'm going to set my intention to be sure and have it done by then. How does that feel for everyone?
That works for me.
Yeah. I mean, there are times when you're going to have a hard stop, you know, because someone else is involved or it's a doctor appointment or whatever. Really, I think nothing is etched in stone. Even a doctor appointment. If something comes up and we have to phone and change it, then so be it. I think internally we have to have an attitude of persistence and courage. We have to have the courage to try and fail and keep on failing until we're successful. So failure is rehearsal for success.
I like that.
Yeah, isn't that great? As a recovering perfectionist, that was my mantra. All I was doing was rehearsing for success. And it really takes away that blame, that we, you know, put on ourselves. And, I think that's a really good attitude. And then what happens when you make the mistakes, then you say, oh, what can I take from it? What lesson can I take from this? So it doesn't happen again. And, you know, that's really important. And I think the other thing that's really important is an attitude of gratitude. Donna, I have had fibromyalgia for many, many years, and I also suffer from depression, and I have taken medication for years. I understand what you mean by living a life with pain. It's hard, and some days are worse than others. And yet, I look at where I am and what I do, and my personal life is so great, and, you know, and I think, wow, if I hadn't gone through the accident that, you know, brought this on, that triggered the fibromyalgia, if I hadn't lived my life the way I had, I wouldn't be here. And gosh, I really feel lucky in so many ways that I don't find it hard at all to wake up every day and, you know, come up with three things I'm grateful for to start the day. And I think, you know, when we work with our clients and, you know, we're teaching our children. My grandson has ADHD, my youngest grandson, and he struggles sometimes, and he has anxiety, and he'll phone me, and he'll be all upset. And so, you know, I help him to calm down and feel better about himself, and then I ask him what he's grateful for. And it helps to just change his focus to something more positive, and you know, I invited him to start a gratitude journal. He hasn't done that. He does tell me, he'll phone me and he'll say, Grammy, I got to tell you what I'm grateful for today. You know, so to me, that's a legacy that's so valuable. My relationship with him, because of, you know, his condition, and my condition just created a perfect relationship. He calls me the best life coach in the world.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that something? He's 13, and you know, he's a very sensitive young guy, and I'm just so grateful for that relationship with him. So I think that's a really important inner resource for us to have, to be able to fall back on, as bad as it gets, even when it's worst. Always someone who's got it worse than you do. And, you know, things could always be worse. And I just think that's a really helpful attitude. What do you think, guys?
This is Donna. I completely agree. And it's nice to you. Thank you for sharing about your pain and such you had when you started the class, and I really appreciate it. Sometimes what I do with my kids, I just had to share this, is when we'd start each day with a prayer, and then we'd each say which we're grateful for, my husband and the kids and I, and then we would do the ending of the day that way too. And days that we do that are, you know, it's neat because sometimes the kids will surprise me with something like, I'm grateful for mom's cooking, or I'm grateful for the dog, I'm grateful that it's Friday, I'm grateful, you know, whatever it is, but it starts your day on the right note, ends it on the right note. And I truly do believe that my injury, you know, that there's so many blessings in it. And sometimes it's really hard because it is very painful. But then I'm like, it's gotten me to slow down. It's gotten me to stop. It's gotten me to do these things, you know, not that anything caused it to happen. But I do believe that that's one way of managing the pain, is not accepting it like I don't expect that there could be things that will make it better, not like I'm accepting it, meaning, you know, but it's,
you're not like fighting it. Yeah.
Yeah. The acceptance of the situation and looking for the positive side of it is such a better approach. And it feels so much better to me, you know, because of that. And I like that this is listed as an internal resource, because it's just like a reminder that all of us have this in us, you know, enough to be listed as whatever, a checklist, and that a reminder, hey, thankfulness is an internal resource that we can use to help build our lives the way we want to build it. And I don't want to say it's simple, because it's not always simple, but it is, it definitely works.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. That's really a great share, Donna. Thank you. I think what it taught me was to listen to my body, because I was ignoring the symptoms of stress. And, you know, my body taught me you're going to listen. You know, the connection between mind and body is so strong. And so now I know, if my body tells me I need a nap, I take a nap. You know, I don't try and fight it anymore. And it's helped me to live a more healthy lifestyle, for sure. And of course, the external resources. Most people think about allies as resources, you know, being a family member or a friend. What do you think is the most important aspect of, you know, who can be, who will be an ally? For example, if I ask the question, does your mother live nearby, or do you have brothers and sisters that live nearby? Does that make them allies?
Not necessarily.
That's right. You know, that could be the problem. Yes, my mother lives just down the street. My sister lives next door. They drive me crazy. So what's important about an ally that makes them an ally?
I think the biggest thing is, for me, is listening, and that, you know, I'm really listening and going through being a coach and learning what active listening is. It's a super gift, but it's also a bit of a curse, because I'm so aware of when someone is not listening to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up, after the tree went through the house, signing up with my life coach again, because I immediately went to my family, which would, you know, be the natural place for me to find resources and a support system. And what I got from them was a lot of shoulds and well, you should be grateful. Well, now you understand what it's like to be this, or, you know, just the kind of thing that wasn't empathetic at all. But, I mean, it's the kind of thing that people do, but it was so not helpful to me. I wrote this entire page of, when you say this, I feel this, and when you say that, I feel this. And so that's why I signed up with my life coach again, because I needed a true support system, which was someone who was really good to listen to me, follow what I was saying, turn around with the accountability. And I was just not from my family.
Oh, that's a shame. It's so they think they're helping, you know, they think they're, I mean, I'm sure they're doing the best that they can in terms of trying to offer their help and support, and they have no idea what their impact is on you, and that's too bad. Your ally has to be someone that you trust, that will be non-judgmental in their listening and support you. So I'm really glad that you have your life coach to turn to. Those life coaches are great allies. Absolutely. And, you know, sometimes our clients can feel alone, and you ask them, you know, what does your support system look like? Or, you know, what allies do you have that you can share this with? And it's interesting how you think someone is an ally, and then you recognize that maybe they just don't have what you need to feel supported. Sometimes strategic goals in themselves can be great support system. If someone's feeling overwhelmed, you know, you can invite them to go back and look at their SMART goals. Tom, I think you want to be on mute.
Actually, I am muted, so I don't know where that was coming
from. I'm so sorry. I think I mute, so sorry. Bye. No.
Somebody's sounds like we're having a different conversation with someone's asking for a different conversation. So And asking for help, I think, is a really important, the ability to ask for help without feeling weak. What about all of you? How do you feel about asking for help when you need it? Malia, we know you obviously are very good at that. You recognized that you weren't getting what you needed and you immediately asked for help. I think that's very courageous and it's so important that you can do that.
Thank you.
And, you know, some people feel that they should be able to do everything by themselves. And I mean, really, when you think about it, it's impossible for one person to know everything and be able to do everything, you know, without any outside help. And yet, that's how some people think that they ought to be. And when you think about, we're givers, those of us that are, well, I think we all are givers and helpers, and we're used to that. And we all know that when you give, it's impossible to not get something back. You know, that wonderful feeling of knowing that you've helped someone. It's magical. And so when someone resists asking for help or refuses to ask for help, in my opinion, they're being very selfish, because by helping, they can experience how good it feels. They can give that other person the experience of knowing how good it feels to help someone. Just tell a quick story. One of my students told me that at Christmas time, their mother always insisted every year that she cook the Christmas dinner. And she said every year, you know, they were in the other room. Mom was in the kitchen and spent the whole day there. And they took turns kind of going in the kitchen, offering to help. No, no, no. And she said it was a terrible day. Nobody had fun because they all felt guilty because, you know, the mother was having to work so hard. And year after year, that's what Christmas was like. Until she started to get older and one Christmas admitted, I can't cook the dinner this year. I'm not strong enough. And so they all, you know, they did potluck. They all brought dishes and they were all in the kitchen together and they all were having fun together, including the mom in all of that. And she said it was the best Christmas they ever had because she finally asked for help. They had been so desperate to give it. Interesting story, huh?
Yeah, very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, when you think of times, you know, when someone's struggling with something and you want to help them, you say, can I help them? No, 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 I've got it. I can do it. And, you know, it just hurts to watch them struggle and you want to help so badly. It's hard. So if you ever, you know, if you ever have the opportunity to share that perspective with someone who's resisting asking for help, you know, then maybe you could share that with them and say, hey, it would be a gift to me if you let me help you. And I would, you know, really appreciate that gift. So just switching gears a little bit, are there any action, questions rather, or comments or anything about the power of a positive mindset and the law of attraction? I think it's really important to understand the difference between setting an intention and creating the vibration that's necessary to attract what you want and need. And making a wish and just sitting back and thinking that's going to happen. Or the law of attraction will have absolutely no impact whatsoever on winning the lottery. Because obviously there has to be, I think, an involvement with it where we put our work and our actions so that we are in the same vibration as the thought. Have any of you ever used or applied the law of attraction for something that you've wanted in your life?
This is Malia. I definitely have sometimes, and it just seems absolutely amazing. I am married to a man who has the most incredible law of attraction and ability to manifest his world. It's like every day, it blows my mind. His ability to do that. And he's just super, super optimistic. So I try to learn from him, but I often get in my own way and come up with all the reasons why it can't happen. And I don't do it intentionally. It just is the direction that my mind goes.
Into that negative. Yeah. I hired a mindset coach for a project that I was working on a couple of years ago, and it was something bigger than I'd ever done before, and it involved a lot of changes that were scary to me, and because it involved technology, which I'm so not familiar with. And so I had a coach to do the kind of the project management side of it to help coach me through the process. And he also was in charge of the technology. And then I had to hire a mindset coach because, you know, the fears were coming up and the doubts were coming up. And I knew that I could not be successful, even as optimistic as I am. And I lived the law of attraction. And this was just such a... it just brought up, you know, doubts that I didn't even realize I had about myself. And it was very, very interesting. if any of you want to look her up, her name is Nina Cook, C-O-O-K-E. She's in the United Kingdom. She lives in England. And, you know, if you want the opportunity to just sign up for her monthly messages, she does monthly videos that she sends about, you know, about maintaining a positive mindset. And, oh, I just loved working with her. She's just a very, very sweet person, and her messages are always so on track, and I still subscribe to her, I call it an e-zine. I don't know what you would call it when it has a video in it, but anyway, if you're interested in, you know, checking her out, she's quite special. So obviously that is part of our support systems too, is having that, you know, belief in the law of attraction, the ability to focus on what it is that you want. And then the last part is setting those SMART goals. And having them pointed at your vision and guided by your ethics and your values and what's important to you. And as you go through the action steps of your goals, I call them SMART action steps because they're related in the very same way to the goal that you're trying to achieve, and you have a collective number of goals that are going to eventually lead you to ultimately that vision, is recognizing the importance of celebrating your goals. And, you know, the reason that SMART goals are so effective is that they have that benchmark for measurement. You know, how are you going to know when you've achieved that particular goal? How are you going to know when that benchmark has been met? And so as you're going through the goals that you need, or the action steps, rather, sorry, that you need. And those action steps mean that we're eating the elephant one teaspoonful at a time. Small steps, one at a time, take us to the larger goal and then eventually to the vision. And so, you know, having a benchmark of smaller action steps that collectively take you to a goal. Maybe it's setting your web, building a website, or talking to contractors about getting a new roof. You know, whatever the steps are that are going to take you to your vision. Have a plan, a big celebration for when you meet a really big goal. And then you can give yourself little self-care rewards along the way. I had a student in one of my classes, and her rewards for becoming certified, for example, her big reward was that she was going to take her husband to this very expensive restaurant that they had always wanted to go to, and she was going to pay for their dinner from the money that she made from coaching. And the benchmarks along the way, she told us the first time she said, I went into, I guess this restaurant must have been in a hotel. She said, I went into the bar, or maybe not, I guess. I went into the bar and she said, I just sat and had a coffee. And then the next reward was she went to the bar and she had a drink. And then she went into the bar and she had an appetizer. So she was moving herself closer and closer and closer to the meal in the restaurant. And then she got certified and they went out for that dinner that she'd been looking forward to for 6 months. So, you know, think about how wonderful that is to have something really special as your celebration. And then to be able to, you know, even if it's just giving yourself time to, you know, to read a book you've been waiting to read, or having a bubble bath, or, you know, these days we can't really go places. We can still practice self-care, and we can practice celebration and reward. And I think that's really important. So I've done a lot of talking today. How are you all feeling? Have I bored you to death, or is this meaningful for you? Has there been a light bulb moment? Who will share?
This is Tom.
Yes, Tom.
I think that this has been very meaningful, and I appreciate it. I'm just sitting listening, kind of drinking it in.
Mm-hmm.
But also allowing myself to be present with this material, because it's just so much. It's almost like drinking from a fire hose, I've got to admit it.
Yeah.
But a lot of wonderful stuff, you know, to process. And I really appreciate, Nan, your putting this together. This is fantastic.
Oh, thanks, Tom. I appreciate that. I want it to be meaningful and important to you, and I'm so glad to hear that that's working for you. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. I think it's definitely reinforcing things that I've known and have looked at in the past, but I just forgot about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
That's wonderful. So there's something going on in the background. I'm not sure what it is. If you wouldn't mind, *6. Thank you. So for homework, again, just go back to your life balance chart and working on your vision and identifying your own support systems. You know, it's funny how you don't think about, Malia was mentioning self-care, things like having a regular sleep pattern, and, you know, eating nutritiously and just keeping your physical health can make such a difference to your emotional and mental health as well. So if you haven't started creating SMART goals that are related to your vision, and then once you have your life purpose, then you can start living your life purpose and using law of attraction and building the vision and the legacy that you want to have in your life. So it's time for us to say goodbye today. Thank you for your attention, and Tom, I appreciate your kind words, and I'm really so happy to know that, you know, I've been helpful. So next week will be our last week together. I hope you have a great week. And we'll be back together next Tuesday. So
okay.
Stay safe and well, everyone.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Take care. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.